Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the amazing Watch What Crappens Reality Gaze crossover event. We are recapping ladies of the 80s, or ladies from the 80s. A Divas Ladies Christmas. Ladies of the 80s, A Divas Christmas. We are, this is our third, this is part three of our multi-episode recap. We have recapped 45 seconds of the movie over the course of two episodes so far. It's been that vivid and there's been that much to say. I'm Ben Mandelker. That's Ronnie Karam, Jake Anthony, and Matt Marr. We're all here together. Are we ready to dive back into this? The cinematic masterpiece.
Because this is where the whole thing heats up for me.
Yeah,
but not in a good way.
We're talking about love, y'all. Talking about love.
So this British guy, who turns out actually to be Australian, but at this point in the movie, he's actually still British because that's where his accent is. He's walking around the set, which is also where they're all going to be sleeping in this
the
movie.
House.
It's a,
yes,
it's a house.
They're all sleeping here.
We're all sleeping on the set.
It might as well be like a space station, the way it feels, how it feels like they're so separate from everything on top of a mountain in Malibu, and the rest of the world doesn't exist. It's only Alec Mappa via phone or one of their relatives.
Yes,
that's
so. So this guy who is the writer producer of a special bringing back to tie up some loose ends from a soap opera called The Great Lakes, which was canceled at some time before Y2K. someone 30 years later was like, we need to tie this up. So they're going to have a special. And this guy, Alex, is the writer producer. And he's there. And all of a sudden, this little coffee truck pulls up. You think, oh, great, craft services here.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, a little truck comes up, and he's like, excuse me, you can't park that. What do you think you're doing? This is a real movie. And then a girl steps out, and she goes, Alex? And she goes, he's like, Neil? And they're surprised to see each other, which is funny, because since he's the producer, he's surprised to see that who this person is.
He hired her. He literally
and he
called
actually
her
and hired her. And they knew each other in college, and they were more than friends, and he has been expecting her.
But he's still surprised to see her.
I don't think that had been decided at this point in shooting, because this movie is like what we did as kids, where we're like, we're making a movie. Get me a video camera. And we just walked around the house making the different rooms our scene.
Now you're the girl. You're going to be the girl now. Now you're the girl, and you're like you're the villain.
My sister, we killed in every play. We killed her in every play. I was like, okay. And then Carly comes in, and then we kill her. And she's still traumatized. She brings it up to her kid. She's like, well, at least your brother doesn't murder you in plays. Get over it. We're old.
Wow. That's a lot to store.
So this girl, Nell, She gets out of this truck. So you're thinking at this point she is craft service because she's literally in a cinnamon rolls and coffee truck.
Yeah.
And she gets out and they hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's very like, you know, spunky gal who drives around a, you know,
she's not like other girls.
She's not like other girls. She knows things. Sports.
Like guys.
She's got this. Also, she doesn't have purple hair. She has blonde hair with two purple clippings, by the way, just to correct.
Like raccoon tails, like two purple raccoon tails.
Yes.
And so they hug and he's like, "You smell good. You smell great, actually." And she goes, "Yeah. Like cinnamon rolls and coffee." "Yeah, my uncle lent me his wheels since he's not working during the holidays. And I'm kind of in between cars and jobs and boyfriends. And that was too information, but I'll give you some more. You didn't need to know that. Sorry, I'm talking too much. Nervous habit."
Cue 3 minutes of exposition that made my head spin around.
Now, here is like still angry that they set up some sort of whimsical story with the cinnamon rolls and coffee truck that literally never comes back after the scene. She brings them together with cinnamon rolls. She doesn't serve coffee.
You see them eating cinnamon rolls in a montage later on, but that's a green cinnamon roll. It made no sense.
One of the most frustrating things about this movie. One of them. Also, it's the idea that she, wait for it, this is the special's director.
This is the director.
Oh, my God. And okay, she's also had a film at Sundance. And she's like, "Wait a minute. You followed my career?"
Okay. We're not joking. Sundance, you didn't watch the movie. This happened.
Now, by the way, this is a great commentary about women, female directors in Hollywood, because this is actually probably the trajectory. You know, like if you're a male director in Hollywood and you directed a movie that like cost the studio $5 billion, they'll be like, "Great, here's Jurassic Park 3.
You'll get hired again." Yeah.
If you're a woman who did well in Sundance, they're like, "Can you direct Morgan Fairchild in something in a house?"
Well, I don't want to take away that theory from you, because I think that's actually a real life theory. But as far as this character goes, I just don't think she has good ideas, because she's literally driving around selling carbs in L.A. Like, do you have one good idea in you?
Yeah.
Just one.
And apparently, a lot of times, directors are given a script ahead of time. And they have ideas.
Yes.
She just kind of showed up.
She shows up.
It's like an improv director. She just goes in the moment.
She just said, he called her on the cinnamon bun farm, and she just got in her truck and came right over. Like, what am I going to direct? He's like, "I really don't know, but I've got a bunch of ladies upstairs."
I also have a real problem with glamorizing this woman's profession, because female directors... No director is dressed this way. Like, this is, again, way too... the beanie I could see, but the shirt should have, like, coffee stains. Yeah. And the jeans should be torn up. She should not look good.
Just her hair Google should not look Penny this Marshall. To put together. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Penny Marshall.
Penny Marshall.
Another RIP.
Have you seen the behind the scenes of Barbie? Greta Gerwig looks like trash. She was working.
She'd tell you that.
Yes.
To be fair, I'm not actually. You know what? Not to be fair. This is ridiculous. This is a moment. Okay.
Don't
this
be
was
fair.
Also, by the way, this was a lifetime. This was clearly a lifetime moment where they said to the writers, "Okay, we read your pilot. We're not gonna do this, but we want to turn this into a holiday movie. So can you just make this more Christmassy?" And they're like, "I don't know." She shows up with like cinnamon roll truck and she smells like Christmas. Love it. Put that in there right now.
So then we get her exposition, which is hilarious, and it's very young, guys, just in case anybody doubts that these people are young lovers. Okay, she goes, "Yes. Yeah, I'm so happy to direct this and make some magic with you again. It's been 5 years, 3 days, 4 hours. Not that I confirmed our history on my
iCloud."
iCloud.
Because this is 2023. This is 2023.
"I went to my iCloud and confirmed my history."
I mean, come on. And she's like, "You look the same. Older, but the same. I just meant you match your vision, you know, from our heydays in college." Yeah.
You were such a talented
actor. Have you ever heard a young
actor.
Person you're say, "Wow, you remind me of our heydays"?
I'm nervous. I'm awkward. What do I say? "Show me your dick."
I remember when we were in introduction to iCloud class and you sat next to me.
You wish you showed me all those Cassavetes films.
Yeah, we were getting our iPhones fixed at the Windows place, and the Zoom rang, and I saw a video from the camcorder in my mailbox door bounce. All right,
I remember
get through this.
Remember when we both logged into TikTok at the same time in the middle of iCloud class?
Yes.
She's like, I knew that we were going to be good dates the second that we did. During a TikTok arm dance only.
Did you guys, this whole exposition that she did went on and he like gave a little bit in here and like answered questions. But you know, like when you're eating like a meal of like heavy meat with like roasted root vegetables and you're eating it and you know you have to eat it, but like you're so tired from chewing or just eating this food, everything that she said, I was just like, I'm exhausted by this exposition. It was one of the worst exposition I've ever heard.
She was also like neurotic. She was like, I mean, I remember from our iCloud. I mean, I confirmed it. Not that I confirmed it. 5 years, 4 months, 3 days to be exact. I'm about to do a Rent song. And like, you know, you really matched the vision I had. And oh my God, like, oh, like I, like it was a vision. I mean, I may have put our student film in my director's reel. I mean, yeah, I didn't, but I did.
And you were so talented. Like, I remember you. Close up on your butt.
We'll get to that. Instead of like carrying the character and making her this kind of weird neurotic director,
she totally
drops that the rest of the film, and then she's just like a normal person.
Well, she had a makeover, you know,
she's
part
like,
of
I'm
a makeover.
Just a girl who needs a
okay.
boy.
That was not lost. The makeover was not lost on me.
Well, the story is she's like, we were in college, remember, and you were my handsome leading man. It's not every day someone gets a child actor to star in their movie. Fuck are you talking about?
Literally every
day. You're so talented. I'm so shocked that you quit acting and left school like that. Look at me dropping plot like that. This is awkward. So wait, you were so close and you're so hip with all of the social. You never found out why he left school. It was your boyfriend, and you never knew why he left school.
You couldn't look up
on his Facebook.
Literally, you can get a child actor to be in your student movie any day. Call up Wesley from Mr. Belvedere. I guarantee he's ready to work.
I'll tell you who's doing
Haley Joel Osment will be there in 5 fucking minutes. All right? Just say his name. He's probably under my
They're
bed
not
right
working.
Now.
He's probably in your bed right now.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to talk about next.
I just want to talk about just these histories. No, I can't. I need to talk about this collected history and see if I'm getting this right, that these two people have. So he was a child actor from Australia, and he kind of grew up around these women, and they taught him these things, and they taught him. So he was on the soap as a child actor, Jimmy, let's say, Billy. And he finished that when the show went away. He went to college in America where he met Purple
Juilliard.
Hair. He went to Juilliard, of course.
I'm layering that part in.
And they were both acting majors, but she was a directing major. And he was, as she said, he was an incredible actor. And then he decided to stop acting, as he says, I just need to follow this up. She gives him a star. And he says, just like the one your mom gave you, the one that you had on your Christmas tree, again, to make it Christmassy, the one that you had on your Christmas tree in the dorms, because we were in college together. Mm-hmm. And remember, and I'm like, so you're a metallologist now? You can smelt things?
Okay, I'm not going to go fully, but this upset me because I just talked about this on the pod. There is an epidemic of terrible tree toppers in America right now. No one can find actual good tree toppers. And for this,
I've given up.
Matt, long as I've known you, you have complained about not being able to find a decent top. Like,
it's
you've
true.
Never and here we are all this time later, you're still bringing it.
Because the ones that fuck you good take your money. And vice doesn't work out that way. Anyway, so I do think I still want to make a company called From Bottom to Top. Tree toppers from a bottom, because I think I can make these way better, but I'm not a metallurgist like this one. This is very, very hard
Did
craft
she
work.
Smell? You know, by the way, like with a hammer?
Get
She, listen, you know, metallurgy, I mean, she's out of work. She has time on her hands. Okay. But by the way, what I really appreciate about this exposition was they really set up that he was a talented actor at one point in his life and that he had stopped for some unknown reason. And I was really happy to know that by the end of this movie, he would regain his love of acting and reprise his role, except it never happens.
But do we find...
They just set him on an arc.
Do we find out... We do find out later why he quit acting. But again, not a satisfying reason.
Not a holiday cheerful moment. So anyway, so she goes inside the house because she has to pee because she had too many lattes.
What did girls say? They're like, what did girls say? Okay. I've got to go inside because I just drank too much Belvedere.
The writers Googled young girl.
They just looked up basic white girl and they're like, pumpkin spice latte.
And you're not drinking pumpkin spice latte at Christmas. Latte. That's not what you're drinking at Christmas. At Christmas,
exactly.
You're at the peppermints.
Thank you for saying that. Yeah.
So anyway, and I don't even know why do we even need this transition? Because she's like, oh my God, I just downed an entire spiced coffee and I've got to go pee. So then they cut to her coming out of the bathroom where you know she shat her brains out. Let's be honest. It was coffee.
I personally don't think that they didn't think the audience could handle her any longer because it was so dense what she just said. And I was like, oh, I hate this person already.
And they said, they're going to hate her. How do we get them back in the film? Let's just do a weird, not centered close up on this guy's ass for like 45 minutes.
I thought it was the Mandy Patinkin guy again who had just dropped another ornament. I was like, oh,
that
God.
That would have been funny.
But by the way, I actually have a theory that was just the actress saying, hey guys, I'm sorry, I really have to go pee. And they're like, keep it in. That's character building.
So he's, what did he say? Like, my mom would love it. Oh, because she goes, oh, and also the star is five. It's a 5-point star to represent all the
five ladies.
All the five ladies. How many fucking points is it normally going to have? What are you talking about? Who puts it's a that 20 six, point star on a Christmas
you
tree?
You can do my tree. I have a, you can do this kind. I don't know what it's called. It's like a, more like a, I don't know.
Like a 20 point star to represent the entire cast of Dynasty.
But a normal star has like five. I think she was going deeper than she needed to.
Yeah,
especially
I think she was.
Where he went, you know.
No, she was like, backpedaling because she realized she was coming off a little too wild by giving him this like childhood star, and then she was like, it's thematic. It represents the five ladies coming back. She's like, woo, save myself on that one.
She's a terrible person that she never cared about his mother dying.
We don't know that. Yeah,
he ghosted her. Ghosting is
no.
It's the
that's
ghost
what I'm
Christmas
saying.
Past.
Like, how did it's a big piece of news
we don't,
to not.
We
have
don't
heard,
know that
you
his
know
mother
I mean?
Died. So she
right,
doesn't
but, like,
know
how
that
does
the
she
mother
not
died.
Hear that from somebody from school?
Then,
you know
then,
what
if
I mean?
If she could have added
her boyfriend, I.
And why did she just say, "I got this star"? By the way, what did she said? Like, how's your mom?
Listen, she was too busy at the Sundance Institute.
She kind of did.
Her short film was accepted there.
It's a nod to your mom, who's surely watching from.
I guess he doesn't post on social media. I don't know.
I hated her so much after this scene. I was infuriated.
I didn't love her. She also, as an actor, she would say lines, and then at the end of the line, it would
it's that casual style of acting. Even the women had to say later on, "You need to say that you want something."
Yeah, I'm like, speak up.
So like, what did she say? What did he say here? She's like, this is a nod to your mom, Shirley, who's watching at home. And she's like, I love her, whatever. And he goes, sad, my mom would love it. But how about that? He's like, I didn't email you. My mom isn't coming because of business.
Julie.
What happened
here? He says, about that thematic part about the five women coming back. Juliet isn't coming. She has a business commitment with
so
two people
confused.
On a Zoom in Japan, and she can't get out of it. The women, but don't worry, the women are showing up. And after working with them for many years on the soap, I know their every need, and I strategically scheduled them to arrive in 22-minute intervals. So basically, explaining why they all show up one at a time.
It goes above and beyond for exposition, and it's almost like they had some horrific fact checker going through this script and going, nope, that's not going to work. That's time.
That doesn't make
blah, blah,
sense.
Blah.
Realistically, the women would
sense.
All arrive at the same time. They have a call time. They'd all show up at the same time.
Just have them show up one by one. We're never going to question it. Like, it was, I don't,
This is when I started to think, oh, this is not going to be that fun.
this was the moment where I went, oh, fuck.
Well, I had that moment in about 3 seconds when Lonnie Anderson shows up. And this... Alice goes, Lily, you're here. She goes, I came directly from Borneo. I thought, okay.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender.
Uh-oh, y'all. Poodle is singing seductive songs. That must mean we're about to go out on tour again. Ugh, sissy husbands, beware.
Whatever Poodle wants, Poodle gets. Well, you're right about one thing, Maddie. We are going out on tour, but that's not the only reason I'm positively randy. I have spring fever.
Is that something that a trip to the clinic or an antibiotic can fix?
Afraid not. When Piano Cat senses the weather getting warmer, she knows it's time to jettison those jackets and sweaters for items that show a little more skin.
Well, I hate to tell you, Poods, but you still have to cover up a little with those tour costumes. In Chicago, you were actually cited for obscenity.
Fascists! I will wear what I want and no one can stop Poodle Boudreaux!
They said next time it would be $1,000 fine.
Maybe I could cover up a little bit. Leave something to the men's imaginations, but I don't want to wear too much. You know how I get hot.
Well, Piano Cat, I think it's your lucky day. Have you seen the new spring stuff at Quince? They have all the seasonal must-haves, like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow-knit activewear.
Ooh, I love those Quince performance polos. They're so soft and sumptuous, and they cup my body in all the right places. They're also great for when my daddy and I do country club tennis role play. Mixed doubles indeed.
Wow. As I was saying, with Quince, you can say goodbye to wasting money on clothes that would only last one season. They've got high-quality pieces that never go out of style that you'll be wearing year after year. I love my blue cashmere hoodie. It's perfect for warm spring days and cool spring nights.
And people can't stop complimenting me on my leather cafe racer jacket that I've been wearing on our live shows. It's super chic and fitted and perfect for keeping me warm in those drafty northeastern backstage areas.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes.
I love that. But Maddie, I don't think that Quince has cured my spring fever. It's only made it worse. Bring on the men.
Yike. Sissies, upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/realitygaze for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/realitygaze to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/realitygaze. Poodle, you know when you're listening to a song on the radio and you get the profound feeling that the song playing was written about you?
Oh, it's not a feeling. I know a lot of songs are written about me.
What?
Yeah, when they get a little bite of Poodle, it's hard to let go. There are too many songs to even elaborate on.
That's fine. You don't have to tell us about them.
You know, the song The Scientist about me?
You slept with Chris Martin?
Coldplay.
I know he's from Coldplay.
No, I slept with Coldplay. All of them. Keep up. Lionel Richie, he was stuck on me from the very beginning. Who do you think suggested Nicole should go to boarding school?
Okay, we get it. No, Poodle, I bring this up because apparently you know what it's like to have a song written just for you, but for the rest of us mere mortals...
Your words.
Imagine having the power to gift that same incredible feeling to someone you love with an original song from Songfinch that actually is written just for them. Sissies, Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and it lasts forever.
Oh, I love this idea. Flowers die, chocolates melt, but a song is eternal. Unless it's a poorly written song, then bury that thing forever.
Agreed. But I have to say, the songs from Songfinch are really fantastic. They're thoughtful, and they sound like something you would hear on the radio.
Okay, but is it hard to set up? Probably takes a lot of work, right?
Not at all. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
Well, that sounds easy enough.
I know. I just submitted a song request for something I want to use on our tour, and I cannot wait to get it back. And based on the sample recordings I heard when I was choosing the singer, it's going to be so good. I also love that they had unique add-ons that make the gift even more special, like a vinyl record of your song or a one-of-a-kind art piece made from your lyrics. Or you could even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Well, Maddie, I want to have a song written about me.
But Poodle, you just said you had.
I want more.
Hush. Sissies, whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or an upcoming graduation or wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their songs to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/realitygaze.
You know, Maddie, this reminds me, you know that song from the Four Tops, Can't Help Myself?
Oh, I love that song. Sugar Pie Honey Bunch.
Yep, about me. And the funny thing is, they really are Four Tops.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline.
Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC.
For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching.
There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring.
Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com.
That's Juvederm.com.
All right.
Okay. That was actually, okay. You sold that way better than she did.
Way better than she did. And I don't know, but so she was doing Celebrity Survivor. So we get it. She's still popular and famous. And she's wearing
a safari outfit.
Safari.
Excuse me. You missed a very important piece of exposition, which is Alex saying, are you still building another acting school for impoverished girls?
Oh, yes. Yes. And that's what she said.
Oh no, Celebrity Survivor. But trust me, showing Lisa Vanderpump how to use bamboo outhouse is the definition of charity.
Hey, bravo, bravo, Colette. There you go.
Can you imagine if they? So she did she said that joke, and there was just silence after it. And someone goes, "You want to do that again?" And she's like, "No, I think we got it."
I think that's how this entire movie was.
Well, yeah, one of them, I think Morgan Fairchild earlier was like, oh, everybody says that soap operas are so easy. No one respects it, but just to go do your, learn your lines and then just do it, everything in one take and get no reshoots or edits. Now that's acting. I was like, well, it's just like this movie. I was like, a way to start humble bragging about your performance in this movie.
I know.
So they bring in
One shot Fairchild.
They'll bring in her extra outfits. Then we get Linda Gray and she's talking to Blue Lagoon guy.
There was,
she has like on her car is like, we get it. It says no fur.
Vegan on board.
I kind of feel like we at least knew who she, even though it was very weak, they really worked on establishing her character a little bit more clear than the other. Because the other ones were just like,
excuse
rich
me,
women,
Lonnie London. Anderson entered in a safari uniform. Yeah. So I directly don't know from what Borneo, you mean.
She was, came directly from the Borneo safari. The
it
Southeast
was more
Asian
than that.
Safari.
It felt like British colonial wear.
Yes, yes.
Like, really, like they wear in India.
It was It was definitely like 1910.
She was an employee. What was that store?
She faced off with Cthulhu or something.
What was that store in the early 2000s? I loved it. Bombay, but it was a decorating store.
Yes.
The Bombay Company?
Or something like that. She looked like an employee at that store.
The East India Tea Company.
The Dutch East India Company. Yeah. She was involved in the spice trade.
Yes. Yes.
It was like very much on the nose. Like, she's been in the jungle because she was doing Survivor. And on Survivor, you wear jungle safari outfits.
I never change when you go on airplanes.
Yeah.
And you do. Did you also hear what Lonnie Anderson said when they was like, this is her director? She's like, ooh, female director. Edgy.
Progressive.
Yeah, progressive. Edgy.
Does she drink pumpkin spice lattes? We love those, don't we, girl?
Why does this bathroom smell like this?
Sorry, darling.
Was that Mandy Patinkin character in here?
No, I was like Lisa Vanderpump pooping in the bamboo outhouse. Pumpkin spice latte, darling. I'm so sorry.
Pumpkin spice latte. So you're right. The Linda Gray character does have a somewhat of an identity. We understand she's like a health food person, but the husband's like, you left your credit card at Burgers and Fries or a burger place. And she's like, well, yeah,
it's called Burgers and Fries. Come on, guys. Like, really?
I must have blah, blah, blah. I got to look good for KetoCon.
It's a very famous place in Ardmore, Oklahoma, that Burgers and Fries is the most popular hamburger joint besides Hamburger Inn. So there is a place here called
Lobster and Beer. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
So Burgers and Fries.
He's like, yeah, you went to a place called Burger and Fries. She goes, yeah, I'm going to KetoCon. What are you going to do? Don't kill an animal about it, please. And so then they're like, okay. So then we see that she's really been eating fast food because, you know, she says that her credit card was stolen. And so we see that she's eating fast food. But this show is such a wuss. The script is such a wuss. They don't even show her eating a burger. They just show her eating some fries.
Fries. I was like,
oh, okay. So it's just a calorie thing. It's not a hypocrite on the eating a burger. Come on.
It wasn't in the budget.
Is the keto thing. Keto is so meat and cheese heavy that those two should not intersect.
Like, I know. That's actually extremely observant.
Keto is the most meat heavy diet of all the diets.
It is, usually.
It should be that she falls off the keto wagon by having the cinnamon roll from the truck.
Yes.
There you go. Oh my God, you guys.
Yes. I feel like this was in a room and they just kept throwing up. Yeah, they're going to go to what's a good name for a food convention? Blah, blah,
keto
blah.
Keto is a thing.
It does feel like vegan field. KetoCon. That's it. Put that in the script.
It does feel like they wrote this in a day.
Yeah.
I don't think they wrote it. I'm telling you. I think it's like the guy in
the
movie.
It is ChatGPT.
It's so just the guy in the movie.
Eating fries in the car, which
I've done.
We don't need to raise our hand to ask who's done that on this show
many times.
But also, like, oh, if you're trying,
you know,
to keep
when
it
you
secret,
tell, you pretend you're ordering for all your kids in the back. And a 7-piece chicken nugget. What do you want?
I've done that. What do you want? Oh, she wants an extra cheeseburger, please. Yeah. Oh, you want a shake? Okay.
Yeah, well, we've all felt the shame of when you order takeout and they give you like 3-place settings and you're like, yeah. If you're hiding that you're eating fast food, why do you show up at your workplace with it like still just sitting there in the car? I mean, you got to do that on the side
and
of the
to
road.
Go cup.
Gotta go. I have gone somewhere and I'm like, I have to throw this away in a remote dumpster before someone sees it because my car is going to smell like French fries.
Yeah, you have to hide fast food containers. That's Los Angeles for you.
Donna Mills is hugging the director guy, the hottie guy, and he's like, "Oh my God, thank you so much for doing this." And she's like, "Of course, I do anything for the sweet wayward son who was carried by my conniving sister and abducted by an evil cartel and held for ransom."
Even more exposition, and
don't forget the 6 months I was possessed by the devil.
Come here, we're going to take a picture. You got to do something for your social media presence.
Oh, yeah. That's what she says. She goes, I want to introduce you to some of my big time contacts, but you only have 3 followers on social media. So that means 1 on Twitter, 2 on Instagram, I guess, because it's just the blanket social media. They can't even name any platforms. They're allowed to name Zoom, but they can't name any social media platforms. They can't even come up with one.
She did say story later, but I think that's non-trademarked.
Do you think they know? They're like, pumpkin spice latte on the internet. Just post it there. You're a girl. Just do that.
Also, there's no way this director guy who looks like that would not have a full Instagram with like shirtless thirst straps.
Oh, yeah.
There is no way possible.
You don't have that body if you're and then don't show it off.
He doesn't have that many thirst traps. Not that I've looked at his Instagram.
Wow. Wow.
It's true. It's like Aaron O'Connell. He didn't have as much as we wanted either.
He didn't. And I don't know what these straight guys, they just keep putting pictures of their wife and their kid.
Oh, that is the worst.
Congratulations.
Or their dogs.
Great. Wow. You're not sucking a dick. Thanks.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Wow. Bully for you. You don't have to suck a dick to survive.
Look at you working out for health. Wow. Another guy not working out only because he can get more dick later. Wow.
Because of body dysmorphia. Great.
Have fun. Okay, so then the ladies start seeing each other and gathering in a living room, which is basically the rest of this movie. It's one person being in a living room and the rest of them being like, what are you doing here? So this is the first of one of many of those scenes.
That is the description of at least a third of the movie that you're saying the rest of the way through. Yeah.
It has less drama than a Celestial Seasoning commercial. Okay.
Boy, so that is the truth.
Morgan Fairchild. I will switch over to actress names. Morgan Fairchild's like, so like how, like they're asking about Donna Mills' adopted kid. She goes, how many do you have? Are you in the Angelina Jolie and Mia Farrow territory yet? Current references again.
That was the most awkward line to say. It just was terrible.
I know.
No, that was that line. You know what that line was? The original line was, are you in Mia Farrow territory yet? And an executive said, I think we need to go younger. How about Angelina Jolie? And the writer was like, no, Mia Farrow is the famous one who adopted. And they're like, how about both? And now you have that line.
Which, why wouldn't you pick Madonna?
Exactly. No, Angelina Jolie's fair. So then Donna Mills is like, I have 5 adopted children, same as your husband's. And then Morgan Fairchild is like, shrew. The other one goes, slut, hag, cow.
And I went, smiling. Please, more of this.
Yes.
More of this.
And stop making them smile. Make it be sincere.
And then like, oh, it's so good to see you. It's a scene from Jake and I's Cabaret Gays.
I still feel like we were more convincing when we did it. And yes. I don't think that these women put any idea into their character backstories of how they knew each other.
No.
And I don't think it's in the writing. So it feels like we're just hobbling up to craft saying services. Yeah, yeah, we're just saying lines.
So then they're like, okay, I've missed you so much, bitch hag. I hate her so much, like soap dish. And then Lonnie's like, we are going to have so much fun. They're like, why do you smell like elephant shit? Oh, I just haven't changed in 3 months since I started Celebrity Survivor. And then Linda Gray comes in with her pickle ass. You know, she smells like fast food pickles and onions.
Yes, she does. Yeah.
And she's like, you're not going to have fun without your long lost.
Oh, it's
sister.
Like.
I was like, when did Linda Gray get all this energy? I don't remember Linda Gray ever like shimmying into a room. She shimmied.
She did shimmy.
She was normally just so kind of, she played the aggrieved character.
Yes.
Like, Sue Ellen was very contained.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm not miss. She's a vegan. Oh.
So then Alex calls Nell over. I guess he calls Nell for some reason. And then they're just like talking. And Margo's like, they see Nell. And then they all are like, wow, like lovely bone structure. And oh, she seems so perky. Terrible wardrobe. Yeah. Like, okay, fair.
Fair.
And then
fair.
They find out she's the director. And they're like, oh, Sophie,
how progressive.
What's next? You're going to tell us you're voting for something? I mean, these young kids.
Well, Nell is incredibly talented, and honestly, we are very excited to have her on this project after her short film made such a splash at the Sundance Film Festival, sponsored by iCloud.
By iCloud. Alex said she's amazingly talented at DOS.
Miss DOS to you.
Did you notice that the first thing they do when they're meeting their director for a show that they're going to be working on, before anything else, like, oh, are you to an item? The first yeah. thing they do is talk about like they're little 4-year-old girls.
Just well, the chemistry is undeniable. It can't be ignored. Okay.
But yeah, because there is not any mention again about her film in Sundance, which they all would know of. Whatever.
I don't know. I mean, some of those films at Sundance, I don't know what the hell that is.
It wasn't a feature. Sundance it was a short.
Some of those films. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, the Spitfire Grill Part 2 didn't really make a splash in theaters.
I loved that first. I loved the Spitfire Grill.
So then Alex is like, okay, ladies, schedule. We've got to go over the schedule. All right. We're going to have acting things, and then we're going to do lunch.
I died!
And don't worry, there will be vegan options available for you, lady, who still has not cheated on veganism, but has cheated on carbs in this film.
And this is definitely the producer-writer's role to read what the schedule is going to be.
Exactly.
Not the production manager or anybody else.
And then, of course, we're going to have our live Christmas broadcast, which has not been written at all. Yet.
Yep.
So possibly, also, maybe I'll do that in the rest of the film.
And also a Hollywood Tonight interview tomorrow night, which is confusing because it sounds like I'm saying tonight, but it's tomorrow night.
Tonight.
But it's Hollywood Tonight is tonight. The title.
Tomorrow night
is the schedule. If you can follow that, I don't know if it was from the top. Should I do it again from the top?
Can't wait.
Manny's in chat one morning.
I think we're good.
And then we're going to do a live broadcast with not a lot of rehearsal. And it'll be fine.
But then,
it's going to be great.
And then that's when Nicolette shows up, right?
Yeah, because out of nowhere, there's a staff member who is. This is the only time the staff member appears. She's like, oh, "Alex, you have to come to the thing that's happening 15 feet away and look at this." So he goes out there, and here comes Juliet, who has changed her mind for reasons they've decided not to show us. She's just decided to come and do this movie.
She's come as a sexy jack-o'-lantern cosplay. This coat was one of the ugliest things I've ever seen.
They all wore their own wardrobe. You know they did.
Had
it was not a costume. So,
but no, this coat was so hideous.
Well, the sexy walking in was, I felt so bad for her because they're like, okay, Nicolette, walk in. And she's like, walking like she's assuming that these people are going to be intelligent enough to give her a slow-mo, but she's like,
yeah,
jerking her way in. I thought,
she
oh
was
my
walking,
God. She's going to kill
waiting
you.
For the slow-mo, but it never happened.
Yeah, it never happened.
But she's walking still in slow-mo. Oh, I was just, she Nicolette doesn't realize is going to kill these people.
They don't have an editing budget. So if you do slow motion on this film, you actually have to do it in slow motion in real time. She didn't get that memo.
So Margo's like,
what is she doing here?
I know there's a lot of that. And Margo goes, fasten your facelifts, ladies. It's going to be a bumpy weekend.
And that's it. They a lot of times had like, they reference famous lines, but they changed it just enough that it felt like they didn't get the line right.
To make it less funny.
Like it felt
it's
like
the Uncanny Valley.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
take
it was
all
like,
the joy out of every gay iconic line
yes,
that we can
like,
think of.
What soft through light through yonder doorway crackles. Like you're what? What? That sounds just a little off. Did you notice though when she comes in, Nicolette comes in, Donna Mills just literally just mugs right at the camera with her eyes and her eyeshadow and her raccoon eyeshadow. And it's not even like a quick, she just kind of stares at it for like 30 seconds. And I felt like I was being watched. It felt very weird in my living room.
It was the
you
most
were.
Authentic
you're being watched
thing
the
I've
eyes
seen.
Of Donna Mills. Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds like a great independent movie.
It's very haunting. It's the original Great Gatsby.
The eyes of Donna Mills.
I think Donna was like, why are all these people pointing their phones at me? I see you.
I just want to just blink and tell everyone to come home with me.
So Margo's like, we're over the liquor cut. Christmas tea ain't gonna cut it today. Like, that's... Like, oh, okay, this is going to be her role for the rest of the movie, is making sassy little remarks on the side. Which I was not actually totally opposed to.
Yeah, I thought she got really good at this. It seems like they shot this all in order, too, right?
Because they had to.
As the show goes on, they all get more personalities suddenly. And I think they're just, like, finally comfortable, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alex is like, oh, no, Donna Mills, don't be angry. I had no idea she was coming. And she goes, well, then what the hell is she doing here? And Juliet says, she had a change of heart for reasons that don't need to be explained. Just accept that I'm here.
And we never really know what those are.
Never.
And maybe then Donna, who, by the way, Nicolette has literally never done anything to Donna Mills, okay? And we find that out later. And Donna Mills isn't even pretending that she did anything wrong. So Nicolette's like, well, she had a change of heart. And Donna goes, well, that's funny. I didn't think she had one.
Like, why do you hate her?
You are not a victim here.
Remember, she tried to call in Y2K and Nicolette Sheridan.
She didn't call her back. That's why she hates her.
That's an actual plot.
That's it.
And in fact, she even says, honey, I wanted to get into this 20 years ago, but you wouldn't speak to me. Remember? It's literally a thing that she referenced.
For one Y2K card.
But like in all of the things in this fight, in their fight, what we end up finding out later, like what's worse? Banging somebody's husband or not calling somebody back one single time?
Apparently that.
I know. So then Morgan Fairchild's like, well, why would I be worried about missing the holidays when we have Boxing Day right here? I was like, okay.
Another funny line, but kind of funny adjacent.
And it's also, not a holiday we celebrate in the
Boxing Day jokes.
Airing. So no one watching this on Lifetime knows what the fuck that is.
Oh man, I love all seeing all you guys more than I love celebrating Guy Fawkes Day.
with a good plate of poutine.
So Linda's like, well, I can lead everybody on a gratitude walk. I'm a hippie. So Alex is like, ladies, Julia being here is a surprise, but the viewers, I don't know, who cares? So Nicolette's like, I'm here for the fans. And Donna's like, oh, really? It's nothing to do with the money you're going to make from your product placement here on this television. Oh, my God. So now we're business shaming Nicolette? The woman just got here. Let her sell some shit.
Yeah,
she just got off of Zoom.
She just had to make money for her gay son who was addicted to meth and is now sober.
It does seem like she's the only one who's doing well, and they all hate it. Like,
yeah. That would have been a great subtext add to this movie, but also maybe don't add it and just have people talking in a room for two hours. So Donna's like, she's like, Alex, I really hate to hit you with this, but if she's doing the show, I'm not. And then of course Nicolette's like, well, I'm doing it. So then it's like, oh no, it's gonna be gone. And so Donna Mills.
What if she's leaving? I'm quitting. Well, if she's leaving, I'm quitting too. I'm leaving too. Did I smell cinnamon buns? Hey, why is there a puddle on the floor that smells like pumpkin spice latte? I'll be upstairs.
By the way, was anyone like,
bitch?
I was like, why are we 20 minutes in and having a climactic third act break right now?
We're all quitting over nothing. We're all quitting over like a third act Nicolette break. Sheridan being here, who we all really like.
Yeah. Who's never done anything to anyone.
Gave them gifts, gave them free shoes, because God knows they need those. You know that Morgan Fairchild's character was, going to sell those on eBay after this.
There's this very odd. This was Lonnie Anderson was very excited about her monologue that was supposed to be all about me.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
She really just, it's sad that she couldn't rise up to this dialogue.
About like, not being able to get, she's the only one who hasn't won an award.
She's all one, she wants all the parts and she wants all this. And it felt, that's what's weird too. Like you didn't know, like, was this written or did they just improv real life situations for this movie and make it Christmassy?
Yeah, so, it's too bad because Lonnie Anderson really is due for some Emmys.
Yeah. So yeah, more, really they great. All basically quit and they, we, Nell and Alex are like, what do we do now? We were in college together. And we just hear door slam after door slam.
Oh my
slam
God.
Oh yeah.
Slam. That was so weird. And that hot Travis guy, he kind of just kind of like looked like when Jake and I are doing the podcast and Jake, if Jake hears a noise, he's like, he can't focus on anything else.
I'm like, I stare at what's so there. Like
when his neighbor is moving above him and it just...
Or she's doing somersaults or...
It's just so... I just
front rolls.
Where is Lindsay Lohan doing a pratfall down a ski lift when you need it?
I know. It really makes me appreciate that. Because then, because Lonnie Anderson is like, how about, okay, Alex, I'm the last one here standing because everyone else has decided to quit the show for no reason. How about if you rewrite the script and give my character multiple personality disorder and I play all the parts? And he's like, no, even I have standards. She goes, well, it was worth a shot. Lily out.
Yeah, she's like, so I don't get to play all the parts, so I'm out of here. So then she quits. But isn't she the only one who's still famous? I'm so confused. Why is she asking for more roles? She's just all, she's still on Celebrity
Survivor. Morgan
Fairchild
is famous. Her and Morgan are famous. Nicolette's not as famous as much as she's now on QVC.
An entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right. Morgan Fairchild is halfway to an EGOT. According to this movie.
And Donna Mills has a huge social media presence.
And a humanitarian.
Donna Mills' OnlyFans is going nuts. So then we go
won a UNICEF award.
No. So who was the hottie director guy trying to call that he couldn't get anybody on the phone?
I think actually his real life agent. His real life agent is like, get me out of this movie. They're like, keep it rolling, keep it rolling.
I did something wrong.
We can use this.
Like, what do you mean there's no one in the office until January? So the thing is they have a photo shoot today, guys, and this is that way they can do their big marketing push for the show that's on tomorrow. So so then we get to Lauren, she's on the phone. Sorry, I have Linda to go Gray. By the character names because I wrote them all down in character
Lonnie,
names. I can't
Lonnie,
this
yes, Lonnie is
but this, Linda. This was, no, Lauren
no,
is Linda.
This is Linda.
Oh, Lauren Linda is Gray. Linda. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry.
She's on the phone.
Do you mind notice how Linda Gray holds her phone? It was this, like, she was putting her hand up and it was this really, like, serpentine Michelangelo. She's just holding her phone like, ah. It was so interesting. And there's also an ayahuasca Michelle Lee joke.
I thoroughly enjoyed. Forgot she's a hippie, okay? She's like, I'm just so disappointed in everything. I thought that we were going to have all this camaraderie. Like, it was going to be camaraderie, like the ayahuasca treat with Michelle Lee. And he's like, are you doing your deep breathing, your tapping, your chakras, your veganism, your keto con, your tree hugging?
I was here for the Michelle Lee reference.
I don't know who Michelle Lee is.
I know Michelle Lee from, I think she was on, I'm going to fucking die that I don't know this. I think she was in sitcoms, but her big thing was in a musical called Sideshow. And she was the star.
I will never leave you.
I said Sideshow. I meant Seesaw. But yes,
oh my God,
that is.
I didn't see that one. Sorry.
Seesaw. I confuse Sideshow with Seesaw.
I didn't think Michelle Lee was famous from Sideshow.
Do you sing to Bueller a lot?
Yes.
Yeah.
You just look at me like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So either way, but by the way, this phone call is happening while Lauren slash Linda is charging her electric car. And she's like, because she's complaining to Christopher Atkins. And he's like, well, come home. And she's like, well, I want to, but I need 10 more minutes until my electric car is charged up because I believe in the environment and veganism and keto. And I have a keto powered car right now.
And guess what, y'all? This storyline never really pays off.
But then, by the way, and this is what Christopher Atkins says. He goes, well, why don't you just like chill out? They must have a steam room or something. So then she goes and steams on the set.
but then she can eavesdrop from what they're hearing.
Could you imagine? I quit, but first, do you mind if I use the steam room on this?
There's also no steam in the steam room. I've been in a steam room, and it's hard to see.
We've seen the opening of Sisters.
Yes, yes. Matt, we know you've been in a steam room.
We know you've been in a steam room.
I am not a steam room. I want a steam room to be like the one in Sisters.
You've got a punch card.
Because I don't like doing things like in steam rooms, but every time I remember I went to a spa because I was having a really bad sinus migraine and I wanted the steam to open up my sinuses. And I just am hearing, and I'm like,
That's the thing that happens.
It turns out you're at the Tomcat Theater.
Yeah, well, I don't like steam room sex. I'm not into it. It's too hot.
I find steam rooms to be very difficult. I don't like them. It's like the moment I step into a steam room, I literally feel like I'm gonna die. I'm like, I can't breathe.
Yes,
I feel like I'm gonna get some kind of bacteria. But I feel like that way all the time.
The shit all you queens do, and you're worried about a steam room. I know. Room. I mean, good lord. I know.
Jake is disgusting, but he won't tip strippers because he's worried about MRSA.
I'm worried about getting MRSA on my hands because so many people touch MRSA's like a flesh eating bacteria, and it's what people get in hospitals a lot of times, and it kills them. But like,
oh my god,
so many
poor strippers!
Because so many people are touching them. So many people are touching them, and you can get
also dollars.
Right, but and strippers' bodies can have more. Like, think about an escalator rail. You would never touch an escalator rail.
I touch them all the time.
I always wash my hands after I touch a go-go boy.
Me too.
Like, I'm like, ooh, here's a dollar. I'm like, no, excuse me, I'm going to go to the bathroom.
I would have sanitizer. And it's not that I think they're dirty. It's the fact that everyone's touched them.
Yeah.
Ronnie sees me side. At Mickey's. Yeah. He knows how I am with strippers. So
Matt's like, come to mama.
Oh.
So
I'm always like, so, you know, what are your hobbies? Like,
you
seriously?
Do
can you just
he really
give me
wants
some
to
money?
Direct.
Yeah. I'm like, so what else do you do? You know, because that's what you ask people in LA. So what else do you do? Like when you're waiting tables. One time I dated a guy, believe it or not. And when we were in the car together, and I was like, so what do you do? He's like, real estate. And I was like, oh, really? So what are you in LA for? He's like, real estate. And I was like, oh, well, I just mean, you know, like when, you know, normally I'm used to people doing a survival job.
Yeah.
Is what I meant. But he got so mad. He's like, isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? Like,
isn't
he really let me have
you?
It. Then we went out again. It was great. I really know how to pick them. And he paid, though, because he did have a real job. Okay, so now Morgan is on the phone with her agent, who is Alec Mappa, still in the same long take that he started with. Jingle, jingle, jingle.
She's like, I need to go home. Book me on a first class, first row, first seat, first. And Alec Mappa's like, ugh.
And the idea that the agent would do this and not an assistant.
Well, and also the idea that an agent would use their miles to bump you up, that would never
happen.
That's
never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
No. Yeah. He's like, I can put you in coach on a red eye and you can wear a big red hat and sunglasses and no one will ever recognize you. Or you could just not wear the hat and sunglasses and no one will ever recognize you either.
Yeah.
So the main reason she can't leave is because they can't get a good enough flight for her. So that's why she's stuck.
She can't go even to a hotel. She's that poor right now.
Yeah.
And then we find out that her husband, her latest husband, not only died. Did he die? Didn't she say
he died.
Okay, so he died. But before he died, he stole all of her money.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's her secret.
Broke.
So, and then she's like, well, He's like, look, yeah, I could spend my miles to give you an exit row seat. And she's like, you know, this is why I've stayed with you all these years, and the fact that you're the only one who works pro bono. He goes, wait, who's working pro bono? And it just cuts away. And I was like,
as the twink dances by the pinball machine, whatever.
10% is 10% of nothing is nothing. The director of this just drove up in a cinnamon bun truck. How much coke you're going to be doing off that twink ass tonight. All right.
Who is this woman? So Lonnie Anderson calls her friend, but who is
Patrica this woman? Darbo. She was on Days of Our Lives. Patrica Darbo
was a soap star, right?
Yeah. Patrica Darbo is what's her name? Chloe's mother from Days of Our Lives.
God. That's Patrica Darbo, Ronnie. That's who that was.
Patrica Darbo. She's done a lot of character acting stuff.
It's unclear, is she an actress in this or is she a coach or something? But she has this
she's
one
a director?
Scene. Or that's a director. What I got.
She is in the Gay and Lesbian Center because I actually recognize
this. That's where I saw your cabaret that year.
Yeah, she is in the Gay and Lesbian Center because it's probably near her house and they told her to get to something that looks like a theater.
Let them probably use that location for free.
Probably, yeah. Yes.
They're like, we're filming something with Lonnie Anderson.
They're like,
and Morgan
Patrica Darbo is here. And some queen goes, ah!
Like, here are the keys. Here are the keys. So Lonnie has called Patrica. And Patrica's like, I'm sorry, I'm about to go to dress rehearsal. And she's like, well, let me tell you something, because this involves my backstory. 5 divas, 1 mansion, you do the math. Haha, don't do the math. I thought this was going to be my shot and finally prove to the world in this 1-hour live streaming soap opera finale that I can really act. And
well,
I took,
you're not helping in this scene.
I took an under 5 secretary role, and then I went that into replacing Dana before and after the vampire bite. And what do I have to show for it? An arc on For the People.
So wait,
again,
what?
And they're more like, convincing what's that? Than she delivered
goes,
it.
Oh, Shonda Rhimes is only flop.
I was like, funny. You're not in a position, show, to be shading Shonda Rhimes right now.
No!
Okay?
Shonda Rhimes would be offended, but you know that she is not going to bother with this. No, but down. Now, what's the plot line from the soap opera? Donna got a vampire bite.
There's and a lot so of vampire Lonnie stuff. Came, I was confused. Thank you.
Lonnie came in to replace her while she was a vampire, but then became so popular that she became a regular? I'm so confused. So did becoming a vampire mean that Donna's character becoming a vampire meant she couldn't film the show? What am I missing?
Are they referencing Dark Shadows? I did watch Dark Shadows.
Also, don't forget. But don't forget that it's not very clear here, but Donna left the soap opera out of nowhere,
right.
Which has
That's
made
what
Juliet
I'm what
so
happened?
Mad, or Nicolette.
Okay, so Lonnie was the new Donna?
Must have been. Must
to
have taken
her.
Over Donna's role.
But then when Donna
But they're
came,
still sisters.
Yes.
Oh, she was like the evil twin sister that came back. Oh my God, I love a soap opera. Because they also referenced Days of Our Lives later with the exorcism storyline.
Yes. Right,
which I thought was really funny.
Dark Shadows. Now that I remember Dark Shadows, all the vampire stuff makes sense now. I love
I wasn't
that
allowed
show.
To watch that. I was too satanic. Very Christian family, so.
I watched that in high school. I loved the girl.
That was when your parents were going through divorce, so they weren't really.
That's when my dad was living with another woman and my aunt.
I prefer Passions from a Supernatural soap. It had the hottest guys. That had the hottest guys, and they were reliably shirtless all the time. That's the only reason why I tuned into soap operas, by the way, as a kid. I remember all the exorcism stuff, but I never actually followed soap operas. I would just sit there. We had a TV where to change the channels, there were like buttons on top of the TV and you'd press the buttons and I would just go back like 2, 4, 7, 7, 4, 2, waiting for like shirtless guys to show up.
I used to do that too.
Remember Michael Damian? He was on, was he? That he was so hot.
I saw him in Joseph the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat on Broadway. Okay.
Didn't he have a song? Hey kids, rock and roll.
Hey kids, rock and roll.
Rock on.
It was a cover. Yes.
Wow.
It was a cover.
It was great.
Yeah. It was a cover. It wasn't original, so.
Guess what else had a cover? My boner. During that. So Lonnie is like, oh my God. So she's talking to her actress friend and she's like, oh my God, like everybody's quitting. And this lady's like, listen, I'm actually working as a director or something. I don't really know. I'm in a gay and lesbian center right now, but there are lots of homosexuals.
This is definitely a theater.
Please. Yes,
I'm going I'm to in Maggie's front of a Cats poster.
So please, like, make some effort.
So, like, Shirley Ralph's cabaret show behind me.
Lonnie is like, but why am I the only woman in our group that hasn't been recognized by the Academy? So,
this, and you know, this is when I screamed, why are we doing this?
And you know, Patrika Darbo's character is like, what the fuck, bitch? You have 15 nominations, more than anyone else. Shut the fuck up. I'm sitting here working at the Gay and Lesbian Center. Putting on our town.
Well, I guess she's supposed to be Susan Lucci then.
I guess,
I'm here directing Bruce Valanche in Love Letters.
They actually did make that Love Letters
They made a Love Letters. Reference funny. Rodney Dangerfield.
That made me laugh out loud when they said that.
Lonnie Anderson starring in Love Letters with Rodney Dangerfield. And they were all such assholes, too. They were like, oh, poor thing. You poor, poor thing.
And you would think that they would make Lonnie, like her character, be the one that's like constantly trying to push everyone else out of the scene and chew up all the scenery. Because Julie says here, she's like, look, an acting career is not a competition. It's not about winning awards or hair or makeup or a wardrobe. It's about doing the work. And you have crushed that nonstop for years. So implying that like she's very insecure and competitive. And that would have been so funny if her character was just like pushing everyone out of the scene all the time.
Not so. Yes, everyone's don't. Too kind. Everyone's too nice. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Guess who's not too nice? Me, because I'm ending this fucking podcast. I've had it with you queens. Everybody, thank you so much for being with us for part three of this Christmas crossover.
We're at least one third of the way through.
Are we?
We're going to make it to New Year's.
We will be here until 2025.
We're going to do like 10 episodes. And then the last episode, we basically cover the last 30
hour.
Minutes.
Hour
of
always,
movie.
Hour we're always of movie like, we're tired like now.
Minutes. We're exhausted.
Well, because now, because I've got to pee after this, and when I come back, I probably will have a vodka cranberry. So then I'll just start drinking.
Atta okay, girl. All right, everybody. Thanks so much. We will be back tomorrow with part four. Also, if you want to watch this on video, go to Reality Gaze's Patreon or Watch What Happens Patreon because that's where the videos are. And we will talk to you all next time. We love you guys.
Bye.